The sports desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Brandon Batista, give me the rock. Here it goes. Up, up, and away. Slam jam, bam. And now he does a little dance.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Wednesday, August 17th, 2022. And it's my official duty to welcome you into episode 277 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Welcome to the quiet Jardy house, where my wife is back teaching. Both of my kids are in school. My dog is currently snoring in his cage next to my desk. And we got a couple of things to talk about here. It's a quiet time for Ohio State basketball at the moment. Since everybody returned from the Bahamas last Tuesday, Ohio State's players have had the opportunity to go home, be home, go see their families, go relax, go take some time away after having, you know, basically worked harder during the summer than they normally would. So there's not really anything happening team-wise, at least until next week. Ohio State's players are all expected back on campus basically by the end of this weekend. So for now, guys are still back home, seeing their families, seeing their friends, all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean there's nothing to talk about, because in the last couple of days, really the last week or so, the name Bronny James has continued to pop up when it comes to not just recruiting talk, but college basketball talk and correspondingly Ohio State talk. So we're going to go over what I know and what sort of context and things like that I can provide as far as where things might stand and just some of the things that I've been hearing involving his recruitment. There's already a story that went live earlier today on dispatch.com and buckeyeextra.com. So as always, please go click on those things. All the clicks help, and all the attention paid to this, whatever I'm writing or tweeting or podcasting, that stuff matters to the bosses, and that seems to matter more now than ever. So thanks to everyone who does do all that. So that's going to be the majority of this podcast here. And then we're going to get into a couple of other just stories I'm working on at the moment and some things you can look forward to here in the next couple of days. Before we do that, though, I want to remind you, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever else it is that you enjoy the finest podcasts. If you subscribe, you'll automatically get the newest episodes as soon as our man, Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, is able to grab them and publish them. While you're subscribing or downloading, as always, please leave a review, please click 5 stars, and please do consider telling a friend. Thanks again to everyone who has taken the time to do all that. So, Bronny James. Let's back up a couple of years here to when he started playing high school basketball, and the conversation started pitching ahead a couple of years to what does Bronny James's path to the NBA look like? Because he's talented enough that's at least a realistic possibility for him. How does that journey transpire? And a lot of the talk at the time was about the NBA potentially changing its one and done rule this year for like 2022, 2023, somewhere in there, to where whether he would want to attend college or not would be rendered moot, and he would just have the ability to go right into the NBA. And that's, I feel like, that if you pay attention to the conversation around college basketball and the NBA draft rule, this kind of stuff gets brought up consistently every so often. And it's always some date on the not too distant future where players are going to no longer be required to spend a year either in college or in some of these other alternative options, and they'll just be able to go straight to the NBA. So that was one thing that was talked about a lot back then. But that rule has not changed. And even though LeBron James is one of the most powerful people in basketball, that doesn't mean that his son gets an exemption to where he can suddenly just not have to spend a year after high school getting ready for the NBA. So with that being said, it starts to open up college avenues. It starts to open up other possibilities for what this upcoming year could look like. And it's a very tight-lipped recruitment and situation, the likes of which we haven't really seen before. A lot of times when you're trying to get info on where a kid might be going, I mean, you you call the family, or you're trying to get an understanding for what might be going on. You talk to mom or dad. Unfortunately, LeBron's phone number is not readily accessible, and Bronny has not done a whole lot in the way of interviews, so there's not a whole lot of information out there. But in the last couple of weeks, things have started to bubble up here, where there was a report in The Athletic that said maybe he would be playing college ball, possibly the G League Ignite, maybe playing in Australia's league, which we've seen some guys do that. And they've come out of high school, played a year there, and then played in the NBA. Perhaps that could be options. He played well this summer, Bronny did, playing AAU ball, to where he's now a top 50 national recruit in the 2023 recruiting class. But then what really kind of accelerated things here in the last week was that ESPN's Paul Biancardi reported last week that Bronny James, quote, is being pursued by the likes of UCLA, USC, Michigan, Ohio State, and Oregon, among others. And from there, multiple outlets have gone on and furthered the story here and furthered the story there. There's a lot of speculation about what that means, what the quote among others means, because you go back to when it was assumed he would never even play college ball. Like, Duke and Kentucky were thought to have extended scholarship offers. I don't know if either of them still have scholarship offers out there for him. Honestly, I don't know if the fact that like Mike Krzyzewski's not coaching Duke anymore, if that might impact it a little bit. And if like Coach K were still at Duke, maybe that would mean that Bronny would be more heavily considering Duke. The only people that know the answers to that are the James family. But in the last few days, Oregon has picked up some steam, some buzz around the world. On3.com says that Oregon is the favorite. I got an email earlier today. Sometimes I get the most bizarre gambling emails. Where will Bronny James play after high school? I got this email today from Bovada, and it lists Oregon at minus 200, North Carolina at plus 350, UCLA plus 500, Duke plus 800, Kentucky plus 950, Kansas plus 1200, and Ohio State plus 1500. Now, I don't think any of that means anything, but that's like where the interest level is in this, and that's at least some odds, which list Oregon as the odds-on favorite. Now, LeBron went on Twitter on Tuesday night and basically refuted that and said that like when he's just started talking to how did LeBron put it? He hasn't taken one visit yet and has only had a few calls with coaches and universities. LeBron wrote, "When Bronny makes his choice, you'll hear it from him." And this was in response to the story from On3 that said that Oregon is the leader and he seems to be maybe zeroing in on Oregon. So that's where that all stands. So now we've got multiple layers to this to start to sift through from an Ohio State perspective. One of them is obviously LeBron's connection with Ohio State. We all famously know that LeBron said, had he gone to college, he would have played at Ohio State. So that's always there. There are ties with the university. Ohio State wears LeBron gear, LeBron shoes. They've had a locker for him in the locker room. But that's all a fine business relationship. But that doesn't mean that LeBron is like really all that personally invested in Ohio State basketball on certainly a day-to-day or honestly year-to-year basis. I know players who have been in Ohio State for 4 years who've said they never saw him around ever. And this is not in any way a criticism. The dude is playing, for the Lakers and, for the majority of the last however long has not been located in Ohio. He's kind of busy when it's basketball season. So, that's not a slight, that's just a statement. LeBron has not really spent a whole lot of time around Ohio State basketball other than having a relationship with them and providing gear and things like that for them. It makes really good business sense for both parties. Ohio State's a huge brand. Obviously, Ohio State's a Nike school. Obviously, LeBron is a Nike athlete. There's a lot of things there that all line up to where it makes sense for everybody to have a good working relationship. And by all accounts, they do. Ohio State famously stuck with LeBron, even when he was not the most popular person in Ohio. Funny story, years ago, when LeBron came back to the Cavs, and they were playing a preseason exhibition game at the Schottenstein Center. And after pregame or after a morning shoot around, there were a bunch of us that were talking to LeBron. And I asked him what it meant for him to come back to Ohio State, where they had continued to support him even when he wasn't the most popular person. Cause like they still wore his gear. Thad Matta would still talk about him. You know, LeBron's name wasn't one you really said much in Ohio for a couple of years, but Ohio State maintained that relationship. And LeBron said, I wasn't very popular or something like that. Everyone kind of laughed. And then his response was, all press is good press. John Gotti. That's what he said. And everybody kind of laughed. And then we moved on. There was another time when he came. This is his first stint with the Cavaliers, when he played another exhibition at Value City Arena. And I remember sitting in the visitors' locker room talking to LeBron about that, about playing at Ohio State. Does it mean more? And I was a young reporter at the time, and I asked him, does playing at Ohio State mean anything special to you? And he said, is that a serious question? And I was like, oh my gosh, LeBron is like challenging me on something. And I think I said, maybe. And he kind of paused for a second, laughed. He was just giving me some stick. And he said, yeah, of course it does. You know, I love this place. And so there are fond feelings for Ohio State. There's just not like a day-to-day, really in-depth, intimate relationship between LeBron and Ohio State basketball right now. There just isn't. There hasn't been for a long time. So what does any of that have to do with Bronny? Well, I think it tells us that, first of all, it's important on all sides for Ohio State to be in the conversation for his services. And Ohio State is in the conversation for Bronny. There would naturally be at least a baseline level of interest on both sides. And that is the case. As I reported earlier today, yes, it makes sense that Ohio State would be interested in Bronny James. And yes, it makes sense that Bronny James would be interested in Ohio State. And I believe that there's been some limited dialogue between both sides, at least as of this point right now. What that means going forward, nobody knows. Is there a situation where LeBron is at the Ohio State Notre Dame game here in a couple of weeks, the football game, and Bronny comes with him? I think that would seem plausible. That would seem like a thing that very well could happen. Whether that's a recruiting visit or just coming to see the football game remains to be seen. But I do think that there are things like that could be coming down the pike, but we don't, you know, none of that's been finalized yet. I apologize. Grady just decided to get up and start walking around, so go figure. But as we look forward here now, knowing that there's been some limited dialogue between both sides, there's some obstacles. And I, from my viewpoint, think they're significant ones. First thing is that Ohio State already has a four-man class committed for 2023, which means they would essentially have to oversign. Ohio State is projected right now with this four-man class to have 13 scholarship players next year. So if you add anybody else in this class, that's essentially forcing somebody out somewhere. Or that's maybe someone who's committed, then changes their mind before they sign. But that would, adding anybody else to this recruiting class would have a ripple effect. Someone would get pushed out somewhere along the way. And honestly, that also applies to Dalen Swain. I mean, I think Ohio State is still in the mix there. And that's still, he's an intriguing talent who I've had people tell me could potentially eventually be an NBA type of guy. And if you have a player with that kind of talent and he's in your backyard and he goes somewhere else, that's tough. So I think that both Bronny and Dalen find themselves in that same boat when it comes to Ohio State, and that there's not any more room at the inn at this exact moment. Now, you assume attrition, because there's always attrition anymore. Teams that go through an offseason without losing anybody unexpectedly are now the exception to the norm. I mean, you just assume that someone is going to leave. That's just how it works. So if you right now just assume that someone that is projected to be on next year's roster will not be at Ohio State next year, assume one, that means they need attrition just to land like someone in the portal. And it's hard anymore to imagine a team not going into the offseason expecting to bring in someone through the transfer portal to patch a hole here or to account for something there. Like, that sort of stuff is just going to happen more regularly. So you would need attrition to land anyone via the portal as it stands right now. So if you're expecting you're going to add somebody via the portal, and then you think you want to add another freshman to this recruiting class, then you're talking about you need two guys to leave in order to bring in anyone. And the hope at this point, or the very strong hope with this Ohio State team, is to keep this group together. If this group stays together, as it stands right now, 9 of the 13 players on next year's roster will be in their first or second years of college basketball. And I think it's fair to say, does increasing that number from 9 to 10 help Ohio State? Because I don't know that it does. Unless you're talking about bringing in a legitimate 5-star top 10 type of player, I don't know that adding another young player to next season's roster, as we sit here right now, without knowing who, you know, what that roster will entirely look like, I think adding another young player weakens what Ohio State could be next season. Because I think, as I've talked about before, with the nucleus of young players on the roster right now, I think you're going to see some ups and some downs, and you're going to see some freshman growing pains this season for Ohio State. But I think when you talk about having a top 3 recruiting class and stacking that with a top 4 recruiting class, you start looking at a really talented nucleus of young players that could potentially grow together for a year or two, which is how college basketball used to be. It's not as much how it is now, but that's what Ohio State's kind of setting itself up for. But you need some veterans to help usher that along. And I think if we sit here now and assume that someone leaves at the end of this season that is projected to be on the roster, I think it makes the most sense that you add a 5th-year guy or someone who's been through battles who can just give you some more veteran presence. And doing that means not taking another freshman in this class. Adding on to that, Bronny's listed as a shooting guard, and he's a good shooting guard. He is ranked number 49 nationally in the 24/7 Sports composite database. He's a 4-star prospect. He's the number 8 shooting guard in the nation, number 12 player from California. So again, he's the number 49 recruit. Those guys generally have like NBA opportunities. It's not like a surefire slam dunk. Okay, the number 49 player is definitely going to be a 1-and-done, 2-and-done, whatever. But it is worth pointing out, just looking from a ranking standpoint, Roddy Gale was the number 45 prospect in his class, and Bruce Thornton was the number 46 prospect in his class. And now Bronny James is 49. So how much would Bronny realistically play at Ohio State as someone with maybe a comparable skill level to Roddy and Bruce? But Roddy and Bruce are going to play a lot this year. There are a lot of Ohio State's future is hitched on those two guys. And if they're both back as sophomores, they will have played significant roles as freshmen and will be expected to take big steps forward off of that. So how much realistically would you expect Bronny to take minutes from those guys? And then to that end, intriguing is the right word of a possibility is Ohio State when you've kind of factored all that in with all the things that would have to kind of fall in place, as well as what that depth chart would look like. That's not to say that Bronny couldn't come in, outplay those guys and earn a spot like right away. And that's not to say that he wouldn't come in and immediately have a role. But I think there are some very real logistical things here that make this a little bit more difficult for me to see happening. It's still obviously a possibility. And I think at the end of the day, if Bronny James wants to come to Ohio State and Ohio State thinks that it's in Bronny's best interest and certainly their own best interest, then it'll happen. When I sit here right now and I start looking at all these factors here that I've just outlined, I'm pessimistic that we're going to see Bronny James play for Ohio State. I think there's, to use one of my phrases, there's more than a 0% chance, but I don't know if it's much more than that as we stand here right now. Things could change, but that's as we sit here in mid-August, and Everyone's talking about where Bronny James might go. That's where I think Ohio State fits into the equation. That's what I think the key factors are. And now we'll just have to wait and see. Now, I want to dive back a couple of years for a moment, because I'm working on a story about a former player who just earned his degree. And if you go back a couple of years, you'll remember a transfer from the Chicago area, Jeremy Simmons, who is a guard, like I said, from Chicago, played for Ohio State 2008, 2009, and 2009, 2010. And in his, he was a JUCO transfer. In his first year, averaged 6.8 points, shot 36% from three, averaged 22.5 minutes per game. And then the following year, his minutes dropped to 12.2. He dealt with a Bell's palsy condition that really affected him, like, mentally, and kind of took some of the wind out of his sails. His scoring total or average dropped from 6.8 to 4.7. He shot 39% from three. Like I said, 12.2 minutes per game. Playing time dropped as his career went on. Well, he got his degree last weekend. Or not last weekend, sorry, 2 weekends ago was when I was in the Bahamas with Ohio State. So I got a tip that that he was a guy that I should get in touch with. And we had probably a 35, 40 minute conversation the other night where he walked me through the journey to his degree, what life was like post Ohio State, all the things that kind of had to fall into place for him to ultimately go back 12 years later and get his degree. So I don't want to give all this away, because this is one of the next things I'm working on here. I'll have this story done in the next day or two. But he told me that, first of all, he was academically ineligible when he left Ohio State. So just didn't take his courses very seriously. He was more focused on basketball. So he went overseas, played a couple of years. And then while he was playing professionally, his grandmother passed away, and he spoke at length about how impactful she was on his life and how excited that she would be when he would come home with, like, a basketball trophy, and how, you know, she was such a big part of his upbringing. She helped raise him, just a monumental figure in his life. And he said when she passed away, it basically made him give up the game. So he moved back to Chicago. He started working, trying to find different jobs. Ends up with a job at the post office. And he kept in touch with some of his former teammates along the way, including Danny Peters, a former Ohio State walk-on. He's an assistant coach at Georgia State now. Has had several stops. He was at Xavier recently. He was at Arizona. But at any rate, Danny Peters had sort of encouraged him to go back and get his degree. Now, while he was working at the post office, Jeremy said that there was a woman that came in and sort of outlined to everybody that the post office would pay for some college courses. If you start going back to school to earn your degree, that stuff would be paid for. So he took, I think he said, two courses to get the ball rolling, because then he was able to apply for Ohio State's degree completion program, which they offer to former athletes who leave the university, usually to turn pro, but for whatever reason, and then want to come back and finish that degree. I've written about it before. I think it's a fantastic program. It helped Greg Oden get his degree. And at any rate, Jeremy went and took a class or two, said at DeVry, which then enabled him to apply for the degree completion program. He said about 3-4 years ago, we started taking classes pretty much all online thanks to the pandemic. And it all led to him getting his degree, he said, 12 years later. And he spoke with Thad Matta before getting his degree. First time they had spoken since he left Ohio State, he said. When he was back for commencement, it was the first time he had been on campus since he left the last time, when he left academically ineligible. Evan Turner put Jeremy and his family up in Columbus for the weekend at an Airbnb. I have thoughts from Evan. I have thoughts from Thad. I have obviously a lot from Jeremy. I spoke with one of his academic advisors. I'm really excited to write this story. I think it's a fantastic story of perseverance and dedication, and 12 years later, making the most of an opportunity and now trying to pay it forward. Jeremy has said how he wants to start impacting kids' lives. He wants to get into coaching and teaching like life lessons on the court and off the court. His degree is in sociology. So I'm really excited to write this. I'm really honored that he gave me all this time and has been really helpful and really excited to talk to me about all this. So look for this in the next 2-3 days on dispatch.com. It's right at the top of my priority list. I want to get this story written and get it out there because I think you're going to enjoy reading it. And then one other thing I am working on right now that I feel like is definitely worth mentioning. And if you're a tech subscriber, I sort of hinted at this in something I wrote or I sent out the other day, but Ohio State 2023 commitment, George Washington III, posted a photo to Instagram the other day of him working out with D'Angelo Russell. And I was like, well, that seems like a story. So I reached out to George and we had a pretty lengthy conversation about like what his summer was like and these workouts that he was able to do. It wasn't just D'Angelo. He worked out with Darius Garland. He worked out with a couple of other NBA guys. He's gotten to see some guys up close and learn things that he thinks are really going to help him as he enters his senior season at in the Dayton area at Dayton Chaminade Julien. I think you're really going to enjoy this one as well. I talked to him about Scotty Middleton and Devin Royal joining the class and some of their thoughts and expectations. So that story is also coming up as well. But yeah, you got George Washington III and D'Angelo Russell working out together on a court. So that in itself, I think makes for a pretty interesting story. So for, like I said, for not having anything to really report on as far as the team itself in the middle of August, still plenty to talk about. And I want to also just thank everyone who I got a couple of really kind comments on last week's podcast on my first day of dropping the little guy off at kindergarten. I had a couple of you reach out and it was very kind of all of you and it was very sweet. And I appreciate all that. I didn't even necessarily intend to talk about that in the last podcast. It just kind of came out. So thanks for indulging me, y'all. And if you're wondering, lately I've been listening a lot. I picked up the new Amanda Shires album, Take It Like a Man, which is just unbelievable. She's incredible. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing her. She's coming to Columbus in late October. So hopefully that doesn't coincide with anything in the days leading up to the start of the season. But I'm really hoping to get to see her in concert. Been listening a lot more to the new Jack White album, Entering Heaven Alive. That's been a really solid listen. It's really growing on me. Also, I did pick up the album by Girl in Red, If I Could Make It Go Quiet. A couple of her songs I've really enjoyed on the radio, Serotonin, and I forget what the other one is. I'm blanking at the moment, which is not a ringing endorsement, but it should because her album is fantastic. So I've been listening to that a lot. And Regina Spektor's new album, Home Before and After. She writes songs that are just on a different plane than my consciousness. And her voice is incredible. Her songwriting is beautiful. There's almost something like spiritual about how she writes. And I don't quite know how to put my finger on it other than I've been listening to her music for many years now. And this is an unbelievable addition to her her discography. And I would definitely encourage you to go check that out. We're 9 days away from the new Muse album, which I'm excited about. Got a couple of releases coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So I'll have more thoughts on them as we get there. But for now, I want to say thanks as always for listening. You can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, for pushing the gears and making me sound better. I'll be back with you sometime next week. So until then, thanks.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.